4CEF mobile.
So 4CEF, is that right? KD2VNG, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good now. I'm on my way home. Hopefully I can go in between these storms, but we'll see.
I think I gotta move the car. If I pull behind the tree, I lose the signal. You were coming in fine, now you're sort of behind some static.
How you doing this evening?
He's just pulling out of the driveway 5 feet may help the situation. You never know.
You never know.
Here with some serious shopping tools that probably take down. Some of them weren't here just a few years ago. You know, if you don't watch them, they sort of creep up on you. The stealth trees, other trees. No, I didn't see it last week.
I hate to say this, but I barely got any of that. You were cutting in and out on the repeater.
Let's try moving again. The driveway in front of the house, is that any better? The antenna could also be loose.
Now, but yeah, that last transmission, I get a little bit of it, and then you cut out, and then I get a little more. Could be the repeater up on the mountain. You never know, because I know the storms are moving through.
I was saying, time to get a real good set of cutting tools and get rid of all these trees. They're blocking reception. And funny how trees sneak up on you. You'll notice one that's been there that you didn't—you swear it wasn't there a few weeks ago. You know, I guess the property's getting overgrown.
I mean, they can be a good thing, and then they can be a bad thing. I don't have but one really on my property besides like my crepe myrtle and whatnot. But you know, the downside is I don't have a lot to hang an HF antenna on. So just depends on what you want out of them, I guess.
Actually, two utility poles, a bit more than 100 feet apart, maybe 25 or 30 feet high. I could actually, and I have in the past, but eventually it came down, I could just put a piece of wire between the two of them.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I did. I got a in-fed half-wave antenna. It runs from the corner of my house to the one tree I've got in my lot that's at the back of it. So it's about 124 feet long, and I got that set up just for that reason. That's about the only major option I had.
Again, if I do that, I gotta probably again get rid of trees. Yeah, I suppose I could somehow get a wire to the top or close to the top of these utility poles. There's ways of doing it.
These vertical antennas that have the, I guess, the small ground planes on them, and they'll run those up in a tree as well, and. You know, I guess it just loops something around the tip of the antenna and hoist it on up, and that way it's vertical. And, you know, if you got the small ground plane on it, it gives you what you need. But, you know, I guess for 2 meters, you don't need much anyway. So, but I've seen that before, and it's kind of interesting. But, man, I can't imagine the coax you need to run it all the way back to the house.
The other problem. Now, there is a Chevy work van, which apparently is never going anywhere anytime soon, and it's parked within 10 or 12 feet of the window. So, I could go out the window to a mag mount on top of the van, and I could take a hamstick, a 75 or 40 or 20 meter hamstick, and put it in there. There's another possibility, because I don't see this van moving anytime soon.
I mean, anything that works, if it gets out, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Just try to do that. I know I got HF radios still around here somewhere. I have a 75-meter hamstick, a 40-meter one. I could get a 20-meter one. And heck, I could get two or three mag mounts and have them all sitting on the roof of the van. And with some antenna switch, I guess, move between them. But, you know, I suppose that's not the craziest thing I've seen. I also had something, basically a clamp, that would hold two hamsticks pointing in opposite directions to make a dipole. So, you know, let's say the two 40-meter hamsticks screw into either end of this, and they're pointing in opposite directions, and the feed point is somewhere in the middle, so you make a dipole out of two hamsticks. Could do that. I don't know if I ever got that working quite right or not.
Guy that I talked to in the morning, Ken, I don't know if you ever talked to him. I think it's KN4TFW. He just set up one of those MFJ octopus, and that's what it is. It's, you know, ham sticks that are at 45-degree angles. So I don't remember if he got three or, you know, three bands or four bands on it, but, you know, they act as a dipole, but you got one feed point, and you don't need any kind of switching unit because, you know, the signal's going to go where the lowest impedance is. I mean, there may be some bleed over, but for the most part, it just goes where it naturally wants to go.
That from MFJ. And yeah, stick any two matched antennas in opposite sides. So you have four pairs of antennas. It's an octagon, right? So two, those two, and then two more. So your two 20-meter antennas and your two 40-meter antennas and your two 75-meter antennas and two something else, let's say 10 meters. And, yeah, you put it up on the end of a pole, and it's got one feed point that splits it among all of them. Yeah, it wasn't that cheap, but, you know, it's a possible way. And you put it at the end of, like, I could make a 20 or 30-foot pole out of something. I got sections of MC cable conduit I could probably put together to make a mast. And it's, you know, it's directional in whatever, for each band, it's directional in whatever direction those two happen to be pointing at. Yeah, that you can do.
And I'll be honest with you, for a mast, as long as you're not going too high, unless you want to guy it, or the top rail on the fence post is a good way to go. I mean, you can go to Lowe's, and it's a little over 10 foot, it's like 10 and a half, 10 and a quarter, I can't remember exactly, but you can go to Lowe's and pick up a one or two sections, but you need at least two, but two sections of that, and I bolted mine together, that way they wouldn't rotate, or they would rotate together, and set my 2-meter beam antenna on it, and it's also what runs my vertical. I've got a vertical and a different setup, but I'm telling you, the top rail fence post is the way to go. KO4CEF.
KD2BNG. Yeah, you know, as I said, I've seen stranger things for antennas. When I lived in Long Island and I used to drive to Deborah's parents' house in Freeport, I would always pass this one house where I swear the guy had six HF antennas on top of the house. Three or four different masts, with I would say at least four to six different antennas. You know, it was a regular single story, whatever, single family house. And that was always kind of funny. I always thought what I would do is get some friends together and play a prank on the guy, knock on his door. Hey, man, our cable is out. Can we watch the game?
Yeah, I bet he would love that, too. Oh, man, that would be funny.
He had to take down at least two of those antennas. So now, instead of four to six, maybe there's two or three. The town of whatever, or some homeowners association or somebody must have said, hey, you know, you got to have fewer antennas. But, yeah, so If you don't have a homeowners association and you're not leasing or renting, I suppose, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. Now, there might have been some local ordinance, too. I don't know, but I really don't think so.
About in my neighborhood, it doesn't have an HOA, which was part of the reason why I bought it where it was, and it's just kind of worked out that I don't have to worry about, you know, anybody coming and telling me what I can't do with an antenna. So I've got three of them, which I'd like to consolidate the vertical and the beam on the same antenna, but I want to pick up a rotor before I try to tackle that project, and I wouldn't mind doing that. And then I just got the M-fed halfway. I used to have an off-center fed dipole, and it was my first HF antenna. It worked really well, but you had to kind of string it between the house and a tree, and it wasn't the best setup in the world, and it was just draping off of the, you know, down, and the cables hanging down. So I finally took it down, though.
Fed dipole. And if one end is hanging down, I think that's a Carolina Wyndham. I forget the design for a Carolina Wyndham, but it kind of looks like, oh, hey, guy, your dipole is broken. One end fell down. But that's supposed to be another supposedly good antenna design. One dipole is straight, the other is kind of at a 45-degree angle, and it's fed not quite in the center. It's fed maybe two-thirds of the way from the end.
That's basically what mine was, except what I mean, it was sagging. It was because of the way I had to attach it, I didn't have a center mast that held the feed point up. So, of course, that was just hanging down, and then the coax came from it over towards the house. But I mean, it stayed up there for 2 years before I finally took it down, so it worked just fine, you know, till I got the M-fed half wave and realized how much more I liked it. Plus it gave me 80 meters, so I'm stuck with it then.
M-fed long wire I had between the utility poles, you know, just unbalanced long piece of wire, worked relatively well until, you know, it fell down one day. Actually, one end of it fell on top of the rain gutter, which for a while actually improved. Reception actually got better when it coupled to the rain gutter. Antennas are strange things. There's also another type of antenna called a quad, which you can build horizontally or vertically, I guess. It's another good one where you have, it's multi-band, and it's another good one where there's limited space. And there's another one called, I think, the Spider, which just kind of looks like a bunch of concentric quad antennas. I have a bunch of antenna designs somewhere. If I ever get ambitious, I'll put up another HF antenna.
I mean, that's usually what it takes, just the ambition and motivation to get the job done, but it's definitely fun playing around with them.
I don't even have the strength or energy I had even 5 years ago. I mean, I'm still sleeping on a mattress on the floor because I got to get the lumber out of the bed frame. You know, something I can do in maybe less than an hour, but you actually got to go and do it. Whatever. If, you know, summer too is not a great time. Summer you slow down anyway.
Things to work on. Yard work, you gotta mow grass and weed eat and everything else. So it kinda takes a little bit of precedence on building antennas.
Yeah, I pay my neighbor down the block like $40 every couple of weeks and he does the lawn. Actually, I don't even really give him the $40 anymore because he borrowed a bunch of money. So, in fact, he borrowed a bunch of money to buy another mower. He had, you know, made a little side business out of it. Now's the time to go cutting lawns, I guess. It's the season when they start growing again. So from like March or April to, you know, October, November, you know, that's a good good side business if you got the stamina and the strength to be out in the sun. And I thought he was going to have to give up that side business because around Thanksgiving, yeah, these things always around Thanksgiving they happen. And he was in hospital for at least 2 weeks or more with COVID-19 infection. Probably could have, you know, he's an older guy like me, probably could have killed him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm lucky I told you to get that vaccine. And, you know, it could have been worse had you not. But, yeah, so I don't even do that anymore. I'm too lazy to even do my lawn. Which, you know, out here you have to sort of be on top of. I guess I'm ready to go back to the city and live in an apartment or something. I don't really like that either. Right?
Hey there, I wouldn't mow my grass if I didn't have to, or at least the weed eating. I don't mind mowing the grass, but if I could pay somebody to do the weed eating, I would. I'm just not willing to spend the time to try to find somebody to be willing to do it. And I know there's people out there that would love to do it and make the money, but I just don't take the time to find them. That's probably the part of the whole thing I hate doing. I hate doing weed eating. It is the bane of yard work, especially around the chain link fence. I can't stand it. I got to whack down the back three sections of mine and spray it with some Roundup. That way it don't come back anytime soon, but I just hadn't got around to doing it yet, but I'm with you. If I could pay somebody to do mine, I would. I just, at the same time, I don't want to give up the money to pay somebody to do it. After KO4CF.
CFKD2BNG. Yeah, I got to, if it cools off a little, as I said, I got to take the chainsaw, and I got to seriously start going around and cutting trees. So, pole saw or the chainsaw, whatever I got, because it's getting at the point where, you know, trees kind of, they're like stealth trees. The tree could be growing there for years if you don't notice it. 1 week you notice, oh hey, there's a tree there. Yeah, there's a bunch of trees around this power line, this power pole, which is probably a bad place for them. If anyone ever has to climb up the power pole, so I should take down those trees. There's some more trees by the end of the driveway, and a lot of them are pests too. They're like the three trees growing around the one tree, so they're trying to strangle that whatever that center tree is. But yeah, one day if it gets cool, I'll get the pole saw and a couple of bigger extension cords, and I'll go and take down these trees.
It'd definitely be a thing to do. It's just going to take the work to do it, unfortunately.
I actually had a very good edger and weed eater type thing. But you could also, if you didn't have a big lawn, you could also mow the grass with it pretty well. It was a battery-operated thing made by Ego. But, somebody took the battery in the charger. And without that, the rest of the trimmer is not much good anyway. To get a new battery and charger costs almost as much as a, you know, the get the whole kit with a whole new trimmer. Oh, and I think it ran out of fishing line anyway at some point. But that's the problem with a lot of these garden tools and power tools that are battery powered. The battery is more expensive than the tool. And, you know, if you got means power tools and you got long enough extension cords, I suppose that's fine. But, yeah, one way or the other, I gotta deal with these trees. Especially the one that looks like it might actually grow into the house. It grows very much more.
Definitely might want to get that one taken care of. I don't think the, you know, you start getting the tree growing into the house, the tree probably just going to end up creeping through, and before long it'll be too late.
Passing this road where there's this barn, and you can't see the barn, because where the barn used to be, there's half a dozen trees that actually grew right through the barn, and through the roof of the barn and whatever. So, yeah, eventually it'll do that. But, well, tomorrow's the weekend, right? Tomorrow's Saturday, right? Okay, well, I got tomorrow and Sunday.
Definitely that. And I don't think it's supposed to be too hot. I mean, I think it's supposed to be a nice weekend. I think last time I checked, it was supposed to be in the mid-80s. So, not a bad weekend overall. Looks like it's going to turn out pretty good.
I don't do that well in the cold, but the heat ain't that great either. Actually, the cold weather never bothered me as much. I probably could have stayed up north. But, yeah, okay, tomorrow. Tomorrow I get the pole saw and start seriously slicing things. Take down those trees that are growing around the power pole. I don't think there's much of a danger there. But, you know, you don't want to ground yourself through the tree to the pole, to the wiring. That's usually not good.
It definitely wouldn't be good, so I try to avoid that at all costs, especially with the voltage coming through the lines on the power pole. But, yeah, I mean, it would definitely be a good weekend for it. Like I said, it's not the hottest in the world, but, and honestly, if you get out there early, which is like what I did last weekend, I had a bunch of yard work to do, and I was trying to get some grass seed down, so I got out there early and started raking up my mess that I made the day before. And now, once it got warm, though, man, it was, good Lord, I was sweating my butt off. But before that, first thing in the morning, 7:30, it wasn't that bad at all. Good time to get outside and get started.
Enjoy the high voltage section of the power pole. You know, it's the last leg, the 240 volts from the transformer to the pole where it goes to the meter and then whatever. And, you know, all but the neutral wire. The neutral wire is, yeah, the two load-bearing wires are insulated. So I think I can safely go in there and cut down the tree. Oh, I've been shocked before. Not necessarily by 240 volts, but by 120 it happens all the time. When you run your own electricity, you get used to it. I one time was working on a house, and I was gonna cut the existing leads going to the meter. And I had called Duke Energy, and I told them, "Would you please cut the power?" That, you know, now when you say cut the power, what does that mean normally? What would you think it means? It means cut it at the pole. But all they did was took out the meter. Oh, okay, the power is cut. So needless to say, when I cut through that, it made a bit of a spark and a loud noise. I'm on the phone to them a few seconds later after my heart rate had renormalized. You son of a... I can't quite repeat what I said to him. But, yeah, so, you know, I've been zapped by electric before.
If you do anything with electricity, it's going to bite you at some point in time. I mean, you know, you'd be so careful. I've been zapped plenty of times myself, but I don't think I've ever been hit with three-phase, but yeah, anything else. When I was in the fire department, we would do that. When cutting the power was us going and usually taking out the main or just cutting it off right before it goes into the main.
What's perfect about it, perfect in kind of an evil sense, it tripped the breaker on the pole, which means it knocked out not only me, but it knocked out at least three or four other houses on that block. And, let's see, this was on an Easter Sunday. So Duke Energy had to send somebody out there on an Easter Sunday, which I'm sure they weren't terribly happy about. And, I'm glad I didn't yell at the guy who came out. Because as it turns out, it was the same guy who later did the inspection to make sure I had wired everything correctly. Okay, looks fine to me. I'll pass this. I'll tell Duke, it's okay. I'll pass it off to them. The secret to that is always leave them with a little something to do. Hey, you missed a little piece of wire sticking out of here. Let me nip that off for you with the nippers. So, give them one little tiny detail to pick on, so they look like they've done their job. But yeah, I'm glad I didn't yell at the guy, because there'd be no point yelling at him anyway. But it was the same guy who later had to pass the inspection. Nice guy, too, and I'm sure they had to pay him quite a lot to come out on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we got paid pretty well to come out that day. And like you said, it's a good thing you didn't go off on him, because the inspection probably would not have went the way you wanted it to at the end of the day. Well, I am pulling into the neighborhood, so I'm going to say 7-3 to you, and I appreciate you keeping me company on the way home. If you get out and about today before the storms are out, just be careful, and hopefully I'll holler at you again another time on the radio. Name here's Andrew. Call sign is KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your final.
KO4CEF, I'll try to remember that. There's a 9 p.m. net here, too, every night, All right, 73s, I'll let you go, get back to what you were doing, and we'll talk to you later. This is KD2BNG, I'll be clear.
AOU.
AOU, KD2BNG.
This is info AOU. I didn't get all your call. Would you please repeat it?
The 2 Bravo November Golf. Name is Glenn.
Up to 2 Bravo November Golf, is that correct, sir?
KD2BNG. So what you up to today? Your call sign immediately evaporated out of my head, but I'll eventually, how you doing today?
I understand. I'm the world's worst at remembering, so I just happened to be in the shack here and wrote it down, so I ought to be able to keep up with it now. Anyway, my name's Tim, and I'm located in Salem, South Carolina, up in the northwest corner of the state.
Corner. Okay, Salem. Don't have a map in front of me. I'll, so you're up there in the empty quarter. Yeah, I may have some idea.
I'm about 15 miles north of Walhalla, if you ever heard of that, or Seneca, and about an hour west of Greenville.
Walhalla and Seneca, yeah, you're near a, there's a large lake of some kind nearby, Oconee Lake, and I think there's an atomic power plant there or something, or there's two lakes. There's an Oconee Lake and there's, what the hell's the other lake? It's a well-known lake. Yeah, I think I know where that is.
Akeley Lake here in Hartwell, and the most beautiful lake probably anywhere is Lake Joe Cassie in Devil's Fork State Park up this way. So, anyway, I never did catch your name.
Glenn, Gulf Lima Echo November. Yeah, I was out that way, Seneca, Walhalla. I was out that way maybe once or twice. It was some years ago. It's nice. It's a lot of lakefront type property around there. It's a good location.
It's beautiful here. I just put up an antenna I put it up yesterday afternoon, but I just got it hooked up today. And does this rig sound okay to you?
Sounds good to me. It's coming. Just good audio. Modulation's good. There's always the occasional crackle in the background, but that's the repeater. So, no, you're good.
I appreciate the info. Well, I'm going to get out of here and get on to what I was doing. But anyway, many 73s to you, and thanks for coming back to me. Katie 4, BNG, and 4AOU.
Katie 2, BNG, 73s. We'll talk at you later. Actually, now I really do have to clear because I want to park the car and go inside. So take care.
4DJC. 4CHY, you out there, Jerry?